This morning, my presentation is on keeping it real, keeping it kind. In the quiet moments before I speak, I often think about a conversation that changed me. Several years ago, a teacher pulled me aside after a faculty meeting. With eyes that held both firmness and care, she said, "I need to share something with you." And it's difficult. I know you are the head of school. I know you are a wonderful leader. You have a big heart, and you're my boss. So I'm taking a leap of faith, but I have to tell you something. When you dismissed that teacher's idea so quickly, I watched something drain from his face, his courage, perhaps the sense of being a good teacher or even belonging. I'm telling you this because I believe in your good heart and because our school needs you and all voices to flourish. Now, she said, I hope I won't get fired. Her words landed like stones in still water, creating ripples of recognition, sadness, discomfort, and gratitude. She had offered me a mirror, yet held it with such evident care that I could bear to look into it. Although I had not been self-aware prior, I was now. There were personal and professional growth steps for me to take, and most importantly, repairs for me to make. I contrast this with another time when a parent confronted me and teachers publicly in an all-school email. Why do the teachers dictate the school calendar? They do not need that many professional days, do they? His concern might have held some validity, but his words were delivered as weapons rather than offerings. They left us feeling defensive rather than reflective, attacked rather than approached, isolated rather than connected. The difference between these moments wasn't whether truth was spoken, but in how that truth was held, timed, and offered. We carry tremendous power in our words. With a thoughtful phrase, we can open doors of understanding. With a careless comment, we can build walls that may take years to dismantle. Communication is more than merely speaking what we think. It is an act of creation. In the space between my lips and your ears, we are building something together. Trust or suspicion, connection or division, possibility or limitation. Our UU tradition calls us to a middle path, one that honors both speaking truth and profound compassion. We are not asked to choose between honesty and kindness, but to practice the discipline of integrating them. For example, if we prioritize candor over care, we may preserve facts while fracturing bonds. At the same time, if we offer pleasant words that avoid necessary truths, we may preserve temporary comfort while sacrificing deeper understanding and the invitation to grow. The practice we're exploring today, keeping it real while keeping it kind, isn't about walking on eggshells or diluting our convictions. It's about recognizing that how we communicate is as important as what we communicate. I invite us to contemplate what transformative possibilities might emerge in our relationships and communities if we each committed to communication that honors both our truths and the dignity of each person we encounter. Our emotional intelligence book group at Prairie is soon to be exploring Marshall Rosenberg's work on nonviolent communication. Rosenberg chose the term nonviolent communication with great intention. He taught that everyday language often contains subtle forms of violence. When we harshly label, judge, criticize, or demand, we can create psychological harm. When we communicate from blame rather than connection, we potentially sever the bonds between us. Influenced by Gandhi's practice and principle of Ahimsa, which means non-harm, and his experiences mediating conflicts in desegregating schools and war-torn regions, Rosenberg saw how habitual language patterns can feed disconnection. Nonviolent communication offers an alternative, honoring both authenticity and compassion, both truth-telling and reverence for others. But this requires mindfulness and practice. The way we speak to one another matters. It shapes our relationship in the communities we work and live within. When we communicate with others, we might notice a pattern in ourselves. Perhaps we say, "Hey, I'm just being honest." Or, "They need to have thicker skin," after saying something that hurts someone. But true respect isn't about measuring others against our own standards. It's not enough to think, "I wouldn't mind if someone said it to me, so they shouldn't mind either." The golden rule, treating others as we want to be treated, is a good start. But the platinum rule takes us further, treating others the way they want to be treated. This means paying attention to what matters to the specific person in front of us, honoring their unique sensitivities and preferences. Someone once said to me, "Well, that sounds like people-pleasing to me." I said to them, "I think there is a big difference between trying to please someone and honoring them." Several years ago, I was invited to help resolve a situation at a school where online communication had created deep hurt. A parent, whom I'll call Sydney, posted in an all-school chat expressing strong criticism about changes to the annual fall festival. She wrote, "I can't believe the fall festival committee made such a thoughtless decision, abandoning our 10-year Halloween tradition. Many parents are upset and confused. Who approved this change without consulting the wider community?" This information regarding the changes that were to be made was to be published in the following week's parent letter. Sydney was not fully informed and had heard some gossip and decided to share her concern first on an all-school email forum. Little did Sydney know, the committee had spent weeks in careful consultation with teachers, the head of school, crafting a more inclusive harvest celebration. While children could still enjoy wearing costumes, the activities deliberately shifted focus away from Halloween traditions out of respect for families who either didn't celebrate or had reservations about the holiday. The committee members who saw this public criticism felt deeply hurt and misunderstood. Their careful work had been characterized unfairly before the entire school community. It was personal to them. By the time the principal entered the dialogue, a lot of damage had been done. It only took a few hours, and several people had chimed in to the online battle. In the end, the repair was slow. The school also had to look at what they could do to promote in-person conversations and create rules around the group chat forum. There were many lessons to be learned from that sad situation. There are a few that I hope to never forget. First, the value of direct conversation is irreplaceable. When something bothers us, reaching out personally to those involved, like Sydney could have done by speaking with the principal first, creates a precious opportunity for understanding before concerns become public discussions. This simple act of connection often resolves issues before they escalate. Also, digital communication, while convenient, sometimes resolves and removes the human elements that keep conversations grounded. Without seeing someone's expressions or hearing their voice, looking in their eyes, we often express ourselves more boldly online than we would face to face. I've been both amazed and saddened by messages I've seen people send that I feel certain would not have been spoken or at least nearly as harshly. Last, but certainly not least, before responding to something that upsets us, let's give ourselves the gift of a deep breath. That small pause or a good night's sleep can make all the difference in how we communicate, when we communicate, and connect with each other. I bet there is not one of us here who has not been confused or hurt by an email or a like. Even here at Prairie, our community has at times struggled with similar issues. There have been incidences when comments in our Prairie Views forum have caused hurt. Although unintentional, it happens. As Unitarian Universalists, our challenge is to explore together how we can bring our principles of respect, compassion, and deep listening to these digital spaces, remembering always that we're in relationship with real people in our community. We, too, have to look at what might be done proactively to continue open and honest discussion, but insist on right relations at the same time. It's tricky.